I'd just like to extend a warm welcome to you all this morning. We're going to be continuing this morning with our look at the Gospel of John. So we've gone through the opening verses of the Gospel of John, and we just continue in series today. And today we're going to be looking at this idea of the witness to the light. And so we're going to be looking at the character of John the Baptist in relation to the Lord. But more specifically, we're going to be looking at what John the Baptist is in terms of the Word, and what it is about John the Baptist that can lead us to the light that is within the Word. For the Lord is the Word. And this is what John represents, leads us to, brings us to the light. And so we're going to be touching on a very important idea within the new church, and that is that idea of accommodation. How the Lord makes His presence real for us. The Lord, as He is in Himself, dwells in inaccessible light. The finite mind cannot grasp the Lord as He is in Himself, because the Lord is divine, is infinite. And so if the Lord is to present Himself to us in a form that we can comprehend, He has to accommodate Himself to a finite understanding. And this is what the opening of John's Gospel is all about. It sets the scene for understanding all that is to follow, and that is how the Lord makes Himself real within you today. Let us pray. So our reading from the Word this morning is from the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 6 to 15. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who are born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of Him and cried out, saying, "This was He of whom I said, He who comes after me is preferred before me, for He was before me." Continue with our readings from the Heavenly Doctrines, a series of readings, first being the Arcana Celestia 6886. It may be evident that the Divine Being, Esse, cannot communicate itself to anyone except by the Divine Existing, Existere. That is, the Divine itself cannot communicate itself except by the Divine Human. And the divine human cannot communicate itself except by the divine truth, which is the Holy of the Spirit. from the Arcana 9:3-9:9. The divine truth proceeding from the Lord is the light which illuminates the mind of man and constitutes his internal sight, which is that of the understanding. The subject treated of in these passages is concerning the Word, which is the divine truth proceeding from the Lord. And finally, from the True Christian Religion, paragraph 176. In the Word, it is read that Jehovah God dwells in light inaccessible. Who then could go to Him unless He were to dwell in light accessible? That is, if He did not descend and assume the human and become in this the light of the world. Who cannot see that to go to Jehovah the Father in His light is as impossible as for one to take the wings of the morning and by means of them fly to the sun? The witness to the light. We're well aware that the condition of our mind prior to our regeneration in regard to spiritual things is nothing but gross darkness. We actually have no capacity of ourselves to grasp anything pertaining to spiritual realities. Any genuine comprehension that we have of such things is from the Lord alone, or from the truths of the Lord, truths of the Lord's Word, which is the Lord's presence with us. So we should never be tempted to attribute our understanding of spiritual things to our own intellectual ability. All power in this regard is from the Lord, who gives us the ability to reason about truths, but more importantly, grants us the ability to love them by responding to the challenges they make on our life, and to do this in freedom. Our spiritual life is found in the Word alone, or in divine truths, or truths that have a divine origin. For these are able to enlighten our minds so that we can see the nature of the darkness that binds our sense of self to selfish attitudes and perspectives. While the loves of self and the world have their chief place within our lives, we remain unable to see the way forward. Yet, as the scripture says, the light shines. But also, as the scripture declares, it is incomprehensible to us until we see that the Lord is the Word, which is the divine truth itself. So far are we from comprehending this that when we first begin to awaken to spiritual life, the Lord, ever sensitive to the lowness of our state, makes provision for those who are willing to live from the truths they have in their possession, that they might be led into the light. And this provision is in the form of a witness to the light. But what is this witness being spoken about? Remember, we are not looking at these things in terms of their historical character, but rather in terms of their living reality that is experienced and can be experienced now. So the first three things we discover from our reading this morning is that this witness to the light is described by three terms. Firstly, it is described as man. Secondly, it is described by the name John. And thirdly, it is described by the phrase sent from God. These three things tell us something about this witness. Each of these terms describes this thing called the witness to the light. So let us deal with each of these terms and see if we can come to a fuller understanding of what this witness to the light might possibly be. Firstly, this term, a man. In the Greek, the word is anthropos. And this word literally means the human-faced one. What is human-faced? And this connection of the witness to what is human is certainly spiritually significant and points to the key teaching concerning how the divine accommodates himself to the human mind as the divine human. Next, of this anthropos, man, human, we see that it is given a name. And names in the scripture are not abstract terms for things, but they are given to reveal the character or the nature of the thing to which the name is attributed. So this anthropos is described as to its nature or quality by the term Yohannes or John, which means Jehovah is a gracious giver. And finally, we see that this anthropos is said to be sent by God. Last time we saw that the term God, as used by John, is a term interchangeable with the idea of the divine love. God is love, John declares in his epistle. So we see that we are being taught here how divine love operates by means of the Word. God, or divine love, meets us through sending forth the human, or anthropos. What this is saying spiritually is that because of the negative influence self-interest has on darkening the mind and rendering it powerless to grasp truth, and truth is the only means by which a person can enter into spiritual life, the divine love therefore sends forth a witness, which is termed here a man, a human face from God, a human face from God. This is his most precious gift, seen as that the name John means Jehovah is a gracious giver. So while the literal sense speaks of a man named John sent from God, and the natural man thinks in terms of a historical person and event, the spiritual man sees it not in terms of history, but in terms of present spiritual activity, and so looks for the meaning of these words in terms of his relationship to the Word. Thus, from a spiritual perspective, the term John is not to be understood as the name of some individual man, but rather should be seen as a description of the nature of what God sends forth from himself, a human form accommodated to finite minds. He alone is the gracious giver. This is what this term John used here teaches us. The use of the name John, Jehovah is a gracious giver, points us to this eternal truth. For the nature of divine love is such that it seeks to give all that it possesses to another. We could say then that God, being divine love, is continually in the act of giving of himself. He can do nothing else. And this gift from the Lord to assist us into the life of genuine charity is a witness to the light or divine truth. And because it is described as human-faced, it is therefore a witness to the true face of a genuine humanity. Or if you like, a witness to what is truly human. If this witness is sent forth from God, then it must be of God. This means that it carries within it a testimony as to the true nature of the divine love. For what comes forth from the divine can do nothing else but bear witness to the Lord's nature. If we are able to receive from the divine, then his gift to us must be in a form that we can receive. It must be accommodated to our state. The Lord looks to give us eternal life. He is concerned for our salvation. And to that end, he seeks our deliverance from the tyranny of self-centered attitudes and beliefs. For these things separate us from the life of heaven. As human beings, we can only receive from the divine what is in human form. We have no capacity to receive the divine as he is in himself, for we are finite, whereas he is infinite, and the finite cannot grasp the infinite. Thus, if we are to receive what God or divine love gives, then this love must present itself to us in a human form, or in a form we are capable of grasping within the bounds of our limited, finite minds. Thus, this form is described in the scriptures as a man, a human, an anthropos, sent from God to testify concerning the light. Again, the term man here is not a reference to a historical person, but to the quality of what is truly human that we all have the opportunity to come into contact with and enact each day of our lives. This witness is ever present for us in life. We just need our eyes open to appreciate its closeness to us. For God is the gracious giver, never ceases to shed forth his gift of life, ever seeking to point us to the Word or Lord who is the one true light. Have we seen, have we heard his witness today? Have you seen this man, the human face of God, called John? Or are we so in the darkness that we are unable to grasp even this? But the Lord wants to open our eyes. Every truth that comes within your hearing, every act of love that touches your heart, the Lord is fully present in a human form, in a form you're able to receive and be touched by. John cries out in the barrenness that is our lack of understanding in spiritual things. He calls out as a voice of one crying in the wilderness. But to begin to hear this cry, we must come to see what the human face God sends us actually is. Now, the face of anything is its surface. And in the case of human beings, our faces are the most expressive part of us. When its expression is true to what is within, our mental and affectional states are reflected there in a corresponding form for all to see. In our facial expressions, we reveal what we are experiencing within, whether it be happiness, joy, contentment, or pain, grief, and anger. Every emotion has a corresponding facial expression through which our state of our inner world can be presented to the world without. So spiritually, the face corresponds and reveals what is more internal. The human face is designed to express the affectional or emotional states of our mind. It also serves to give expression to the thought, although for us this is primarily by means of the voice. If this is the function of a face, then where do we find the human face sent by God? Such a face must reveal the nature of the Lord to us. And if it does this, then its expression will be one of love, of mercy, of compassion, of goodness. For this is what the Lord is. And where do we find that voice that points us to the divine truth, to the light? For that which is able to reveal the mind and heart of God to our comprehension must be the witness spoken of here. So can we see that this witness is really the Word itself? The historical man we know as John the Baptist, when spoken of as the witness to the light, is in fact a symbolic representative of the true witness to the divine truth, which when you think about it can only be the Word itself in some form. Why? Well, because it is the Word that testifies concerning the light. It is the Word that is both the witness of itself and the divine truth itself. Therefore, it alone can be said to be from God, or the divine love. For the Lord is divine love and wisdom, and that which comes forth from love and wisdom as the living presence of the Lord in our midst is every form of goodness and truth that is able to touch the human heart and enlighten the human mind. But of this witness in verse 8 it is said, that this one was not the light, but he came so that he should testify concerning the light. All that is said of John in the Word, when understood spiritually, teaches us concerning the uses and function of the literal sense of the Word. The literal sense of the Word is a vessel that holds within it deeper meaning, which we call the celestial and spiritual senses. These three senses or levels of meaning are all contained within the literal sense, and each on its own level bears witness to the light or the divine truth. Even as John in the gospel story points his hearers to the Lord as the light. None of these senses, these deeper meanings, are the light as it is in itself, because no finite human mind can grasp divine truth as it is in itself. Concerning such truth, we remain in darkness. But all levels of meaning a person or an angel is able to enter into are in fact accommodations of the divine truth in a form that those beings can receive, can grasp within their minds. They can grasp truths and so learn what love is, for all truth directs the mind towards love or goodness. The divine truth is the light that is able to enlighten everyone coming into the world. And that light shines forth from the Word. But because we are unable to grasp or comprehend it, when we come to the Word in recognition that the Lord is found within it and nowhere else, so then the Lord is able to grasp, is able to enlighten our minds in a way that we're able to grasp His truth for our life. This is the witness. When we look to the Word as the source of our life, seeking to understand it in the light of the heavenly doctrines, so then we can be enlightened as to those things within that stand opposed to the life of heaven, that prevent us entering into a greater sense of the reality of that life even now. When we are armed with truth and we seek to live from it, then we see possibilities for our spiritual regeneration unseen before. Once truths are active in our life, we are then empowered to make choices. Truths shed light, give us the ability to see what it is we must do. And these choices, in terms of the spiritual life, involve resisting our evils, our tendencies to selfish behavior, and promoting what is good. For as we resist our evils, the Lord is then given leave by us to flow in with what is good. The literal sense of the word, or John, calls us to repentance, to walk a different path from that of the world. It teaches us who the Lord is and where He is to be found, and so bears testimony to the light or to the divine truth. And so in this sense tells us about the light, but is not the light itself. This light, to which the literal sense points, can only bring life to those who are willing to act in accordance with their understanding of those truths they have from the Word. Understanding in and of itself is not light. Knowledge is not light. Living from that knowledge, living from the truths we have, that directs us into the light. John, the literal sense of the word, the face of the Lord, there directs us towards the light, to what it is we must do in order to live. And so we read of the light that He was in the world, and the world came to be through Him. And that world is the inner world. And the world did not know Him. Every thought, every affection of that inner world is from the Lord. But do we recognize the Lord in the midst of all that? He came to His own, and His own did not receive Him. But as many as received Him, He gave them the authority to become the children of God, to the ones believing in His name, who were begotten not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Those who receive the word of life are given the authority to be born of God. For it is the word, or divine truth, that recreates our minds into a form receptive of the life of heaven. And it does this when we live from it, when we live from its witness, or our understanding of its requirements upon our life, and when we do that freely. To receive the Word or the Lord is to live from the Word. Those who do this, these are they, born of God, and in them the Word becomes flesh and dwells within them, to the degree that they dwell within the Word. Amen.